Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Let me see if, okay. Does that look blurry to you?
Yes.
Good, it's supposed to look blurry. Today I want to ask you about how is your vision? And as always, as before we go into the word, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we ask for your spirit this morning that we may see scriptures through the clarity of Jesus, that we may receive our understanding from the perspective of Jesus, and that we will apply the word of God into our lives through the conviction of Jesus. Lord, as we go into your scriptures, would you make things clear for us? Help us to hear and see, but also would you soften our hearts so that we may do as you is pleasing to you. Lord, I pray also that you will place the words upon my lips, that I will not speak my own message, but only the message that you would have me to share. To that end, Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us all, myself, in each man, woman, child, that the Holy Spirit would be able to sweetly influence us. As we go forward, we pray these things that you will grant us a blessing. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Have you ever had a project that you started and never completed? If that's not you, like, praise God for you, but my garage is actually full of things that I started to work on. And if Johnny was here, he's not, he's at Warren today, he would tell you, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I told him I would actually help build his, you know how he does puppets? And I told him I would build a portable light a puppet stage which he can easily assemble and carry to whatever location, and we bought most of the the materials, and I ordered some things on Amazon, and then I put it together, but they ran out of the wrong glue, like the glue I normally use. So I bought a different type of glue this time, and after I had assembled everything together, it took me probably like 6-7 hours. I came back the next day, and it started to fall apart. The glue wasn't strong enough. And so all that work, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to do that next week. But next week turned to 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned to 4 weeks. And it turned to months. And Johnny eventually gave up on me. And I don't blame him. And we still have some of the material today. And I regret the fact that I never finished that project. Maybe there's some things in your life that you started and never finished. Excuse me. And I know there's some, like, I have printers that I've disassembled in my office and thinking that I'm going to fix it, but I never ordered the part. I have a Apple computer desktop that I need a new hard drive for, but I've never, ever fixed. And so my closet starts to build and build with these incomplete things. But you know one person that can never say that? It's Jesus. He always finishes what he starts. Let me give you a couple of examples. In John chapter 5, the gospel speaks of a man who had been crippled for 38 years. How many years? 38. Some of you are not even 38 years old, and I wish I could say the same, but I'm way past that. And can you imagine this man's legs, his existence for 38 years, he did not walk. And if you know anyone that's been in a coma or whatnot or in a wheelchair, you know that when we don't use our muscles, they begin to atrophy, they begin to shrivel to the point where they're, even if you could walk, you would not be able to because of the atrophying of your muscles. And not only that, astronauts, when they come back from space, even a short period of time, few weeks, because of the lack of gravity, you don't use your muscles as much. And you know what happens to your bone? Your bone density actually diminishes, I think it's about 10%, which is significant. Don't quote me on the numbers, but we know that for a fact because they do tests on astronauts and stuff. And so can you imagine this man who had been crippled for 38 years, his bones have been there, his muscles have been atrophied from lack of use, and even if he could be healed of any, whatever causes disability, he would not have the strength to walk. But here comes Jesus, and then Jesus comes and heals him, and he tells him, pick up your bed and walk. And the Bible said he went to physical therapy. Is that what Scripture said? The Bible says that immediately he picked up his bed and walked. He did not need physical therapy. He did not need the assistance of a walker, because when Jesus does a miracle, he doesn't do a half the job. In other occasions, when he cures people of leprosy, he didn't mostly cure the leprosy. Because the reality is, even if you cure most of the leprosy, one spot of leprosy still makes you a leper. And so when he cured the lepers, whether the 10 or the 1, different occasions, when he cured them, it was a complete healing. When he cured them, the leprosy in its entirety had left those individuals. And when Jesus brings wholeness of mind and body to the demon-possessed man, was he mostly cured of demonic possession? No. He became demon-free. When Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead, he didn't mostly bring Lazarus from the dead. There's no such thing, right? Either he's alive or he's dead. There's no mostly alive. There's no mostly a dead. Either you're alive or you're not. And so when Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead, he doesn't bring him back in a sickened condition, but in a healthy, cured condition. And when Jesus cured the blind man who was born from blind, he didn't need glasses to see. In the many miracles that Jesus did, he never did half the job, except the one occasion in Mark chapter 8. And whenever Jesus does something different, that is an opportunity for us to investigate, because that's what it's there for. The exceptions often teach us more about who Jesus is and how he works and why he does it than the normality, because there's a reason why he that exception. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, then he came to Bethesda, and then he brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he, meaning Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And this lame man who could not walk has a very interesting response. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now, it seems like here, Jesus actually did half the job. Actually, even before I do that, I can give you an example. What does it mean, I see men like trees? Now, those of us who wear glasses and have poor vision, we know exactly what he means, right? Like, I take off my glasses, and I know that's Marcus in the back, but he actually looks like a blue tree standing in the back. It's all blurry. I cannot see the details of his face. And if Marcus were to do this, it might be a tree that's branched out, right? So if you have imperfect vision, you know that things start get blurry, especially when things are far away. And here's an example. So this is an example of what it is when it's in a foggy situation. You can see clearly, but if you are visually impaired, that's probably what you would see. That's actually what I see most of the time without my glasses. So we know that what this man's experiencing is that even though Jesus had cured this man, he seems to have only done half the job. He heals this man, but not in his entirety, but to the point where he could kind of see but not enough to see details. He says, I see men like trees. Well, before I even read to 25, I don't know if anyone here has perfect vision. If you have perfect vision, could you raise your hand? Jennifer, oh wow. It's mostly young people. And so that's a blessing. But you know what we can expect? That when Jesus comes again, none of you will need glasses to see him. The blind, the visually impaired, the people who have poor vision, they will all see Jesus. You know why? The Bible says, every eye shall see him. Even the blind. You need glasses? Jesus might be far away as he descends, but you will be able to see him. And I look forward to that day when we get to heaven, that all of us will see, be able to have eagle eyes, right? Eagles can see like 2 miles. I'm gonna expect I see more than that. But until then, I understand what this man is going through. He sees men, but they're blurry. He sees them like trees walking. The blind man was now cured, but seemingly only partially. He could see, but he could not see well. He saw enough to recognize that these are people walking, but to him, they look like blurry trees. Now, why did Jesus seemingly do only half the job? Verse 25 and 26, then he put his hands on his eyes, meaning Jesus, again, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone, what? Clearly. It took two tries to make this man well. Now, did Jesus ultimately make a mistake? And I think the answer clearly is no. Why did he take two steps, multiple steps to actually do this miracle? He's trying to teach us something here. It seems that there's something that he wants us to see using this man ultimately as an illustration. He did not do an incomplete job, and he did not try again. That wasn't what's happening here. Excuse me. So why did Jesus seemingly do only half the job the first time? Because Jesus used this blind man as a life illustration, a living parable of something that he wanted the disciples to understand, to learn, and ultimately for us to understand and learn. This blind man represented the spiritual blindness of the disciples. Here's how we know that. Just before healing this blind man, if you would go up a few verses, there was something else that happened. And in fact, even after this instance, the exact same scenario happens in terms of applying the parable. Mark chapter 8, verse 13 and 14 says this. And he left them, Jesus, he left them and getting into the boat, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boats. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned, the disciples reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. 17 and 18. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? Finally, verse 20 says this. Or is it 21? He said to them, how is it you do not understand? What did the disciples not ultimately understand? When Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the disciples assumed that he was referring to the fact that they had only one loaf of bread. Assuming that it was Passover, it would have been bread without leaven. And so they were just blaming each other and kicking themselves the fact that they had not brought enough bread for this Passover or for whatever meal that they were having, not realizing that Jesus actually was not referring to the bread, but rather he used leaven to represent sin, which the Bible often does. So he uses the leaven to represent sin. And in this particular situation, the sin of unbelief and the sin of hypocrisy. You see, the Jews, the Pharisees, asked for a sign so that they may believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that he had a divine mission from the Father of heaven. Yeah, and so they asked for a sign that they believe. But the reality is, Jesus had already given them more ample evidence. In fact, if you were to go back to Mark chapter 1, and see all the miracles that he's done. He heals the sick. He makes the lame to walk again. He raises the dead. He walks on water. He casts out demons. And he not only feeds the 5,000, but a second time feeds 4,000 with only a few loaves and fishes. And by now, there was ample evidence that Jesus was who he claimed to be and that he was on a divine mission. Yet the Pharisees held on to their unbelief. And this is what Jesus is ultimately addressing in the sense that he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It was the sin of their unbelief. They refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. They rejected his claim of divine origin and divine purpose. And they had asked for a sign in order so that they could believe. But Jesus was saying, even if I give you more signs, you will still not believe. I have given you ample evidence, yet you hold on to your unbelief. Jesus had given many indicators that he was who he claimed to be, that he was of God, that he was on a divine mission to save his people from their sins. And yet, they held on to their unbelief. They held on to their rejection of Jesus. But with the disciples, it was a little different. They had their own beliefs, they had their doubts, and they had their own blindness, but a little different. Just like the blind man who could not see, after having received from Jesus this healing, the blind man could only see in part. And what Jesus did, he gave of himself so that this man could see. What did he do? He gave, it sounds a little gross, but there's, I think, a spiritual application there. He gave of himself. How? He took his spit and gave it for the healing of this man. Now, there was no miraculous spittle here, but once again, Jesus is trying to teach a lesson here. So he gives himself by using his spit to heal this man. And then the man began to see in part, but he could not see well, but he began to see. And the disciples were similar in this sense. They were blind to the true mission of the Messiah, his true purpose. And Jesus gave a miracle, in this example, the feeding of the 4,000. And he gave a miracle of himself, in the sense that he fed the 4,000 was just a few loaves and a few fishes. And like the blind man, the disciples, having been with Jesus, they began to see in part. They saw enough of what that he was who he claimed to be, that he was of divine origin, that he had a divine mission. They started to gain their vision to understand who Jesus was, but it was still blurry like the blind man. They had only been healed. They could only see in part. They fully didn't get it yet. For the blind man, he was only able to see clearly after Jesus laid his hand on him a second time. But this time, it was different. Jesus did not need to spit or anything. he just laid his hands on him and he was healed. For the disciples, when were they finally able to see clearly? Throughout the life of Jesus, they never fully got it. Even at the crucifixion, they still didn't get it. In fact, the scripture tells us that they were deeply disappointed, and they thought that all that Jesus had done had come crashing to a halt at the crucifixion. But after the resurrection, it was a different story. There was an excitement in their life. They finally began to see the fulfillment of prophecy that scriptures have been fulfilled in Jesus. They finally began to see that Jesus was who he claimed to be, and that it was them that misperceived who he was. It was them that they could not see clearly into the mission of Jesus. It was them that they misinterpreted. They could not see clearly the prophecies in scriptures. But they finally got it the second time. When Jesus rose again, they finally understood. After the resurrection, they finally understood. The pieces started to fit together. And the things that Jesus spoke about started to make sense. They were finally able to see clearly. In many ways, the disciples' experience of not being able to see clearly in the beginning is really reflective of who we are as his disciples. We are all here assuming that because we've had some experience with Jesus in one way or another, we're here because we've had some experience with Jesus. And like the disciples, we each, in our own way, see in parts. I want to give you a couple examples. When I come to church each and every single week, but have you ever truly just tried to see the needs of others, maybe even in this congregation? I can guarantee you there are people here that are going through sorrow, disappointment, loss, financial troubles, marital problems, troubles with their son and daughter, whatever it may be. There are needs of this congregation, but sometimes we are so focused in our own world, in our own walk, that we do not see clearly what others are going through. We often don't see the sufferings around us. And we may even study the same Bible, the same passage, but why is it that we often come to a different conclusion? Now, some of that is okay. Because when there is a parable or whatnot, for example, we can apply, as long as the principles are correct, we can apply it differently in our life. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of how we are to apply that in our lives. In fact, you may hear this message, and one person may say one thing, I had to go do homeless feeding, but another person may come to a totally different conclusion. And that's okay. That's the Holy Spirit allowing us to apply the Word of God into our own respective lives. God speaks to us in different ways. But in terms of the foundational teachings, in terms of the salvational issues, There is no seeing in parts. There is no interpreting things according to our own culture or according to our background or whatever it is, right? There is a unity in a biblical interpretation as long as it's the Holy Spirit is leading us and we are allowing the Holy Spirit to see in the way he wants us to see. There is no blurriness or non-clarity. So in terms of foundational teaching, the salvation issues, we must see as Jesus sees. We must see scriptures through the eyes of Jesus. We also see part in that cultural, ethnic, political perspective often blinds us to the perspective. What I fear often these days is that much of the Christian world interprets the Bible through a political agenda, the lens of their own political leanings. But if I read scriptures, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus never ultimately interpreted or did his ministry through the perspective of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They are in the political opposite extremes, yet he rejected both of them when they were unbiblical. So we cannot interpret the will of God or the word of God either from our purely cultural, ethnic, political, whatever it may be. We cannot interpret from that perspective. It's only as we are connected with Jesus, it's only as Jesus is divinely working in our life that we are able to see past the culture, the ethnicities, and the political perspective, to see in the way Jesus would have us to see. All of us have this partial blindness. It may not even be our fault. We may not even be aware of it. But the goal of every Christian is not to, the goal of every Christian is not to do your own will or to interpret scriptures according to how you see fit. But the goal is to see clearly as Jesus would have us to see. So my prayer for us throughout it all, that we should pray that God, Jesus, will give us the eyes to truly see clearly in the perspective of Jesus' life, of his death and resurrection, things start to make sense. And as we abide with Jesus more, I pray that he will open up our eyes to see the sufferings around us, the needs of people around us, other people's perspective, and that we'll only see as Jesus would have us to see. God bless you guys.